Hello, Vivian. How are you?
Hello, Jennifer. I am having quite a week.
Oh, is that good or bad?
Well, it just weird. I have been working on a stats project that's like an ASAP, so my mind has been on a little else, but then I also had a really awful case of food poisoning that I had to work through because we're
Ooh.
short-staffed. And so it's just, I feel a certain sense of unreality. I mean, I'm now recovered from the food poisoning, but yeah, it's been kind of an interesting week.
Yeah, well, I hope you get to rest sometime in the future.
Yeah, well, I slept about 12 hours last night, so
Oh, wow.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
mean, honestly, for me, sleep is the best medicine.
Yeah, probably. I mean, especially with food poisoning, you just kind of have to, unfortunately, ride that one out.
Right, exactly.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does not sound pleasant, though.
No, it really wasn't. It was possibly just not a fun time.
Yeah.
How are you? I hope your week has been better than mine.
It's going fine. We gosh, it took me like an hour and a half to get home last night. So we were hit with another storm that had a couple inches and then finished with a couple inches of ice.
That's no
Yeah.
fun.
Oh, no fun at all. At least they had a delay this morning, so that was good.
That's good.
Yeah, I know.
Morning, Tara. I can't hear you
Oh.
if you're talking. Oh.
Oh, there they go.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. That was odd.
Hey.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Sorry. I know some people are out today, but I see folks still rolling in, so give it a second while I try to figure out screen sharing. Okay. All right. Well, I hate to make people wait, and I've got a few minutes of housekeeping stuff to take care of. We'll do that. And then Jennifer Eustace is here to talk about deleting records, I think. Yes.
Yep, I'm here.
Having an interesting Zoom morning, I think, over here. Okay, first I wanted to take a look at upcoming sessions that we have on our calendar. Today we're doing record deletion. Next Monday I have a conflict, so I was going to go ahead and cancel Monday's meeting unless there are any objections. We'll say there are not, and I'll go ahead and do that. And then on the 18th, Joe Reimer has reached out to talk about bringing acquisitions behavior in line with Folio defaults. I think that we'll do that on the 18th. If that's okay with everyone. And then we'll have the 23rd to plan as well. Some cool stuff coming up. That sounds good to me. Great. The next thing I wanted to mention is that we are still in search of a new convener. Co-conveners are welcome if you have a pair that would like to take on this role. I'll keep looking around to find someone to take my place. There was also a message posted on the channel. The PC's trying to proactively monitor upcoming releases for new development that needs PC input. They're starting with Umbrella Leaf, so they're wondering if there's any features in Umbrella Leaf that CrossAppSig is involved in. I think I need to think about this one a little bit more, but if you know anything, we can reply on the channel. And then the last thing that I sort of wanted to deal with, housekeeping wise, was WolfCon presentations. So traditionally, we have submitted a working group session and then like another sort of theme session. So we should decide if we want to do that. But the problem is that I will not be there to run it. So we would also need to decide who will run it. So something to think about a little bit more. I don't know if folks know if they're going yet or not. But it seems like we should submit something one way or another. Any thoughts on any of those topics, or should we move on to record deletion?
I just had one comment. We do have a submission guidelines because I know people are like, "Well, what's on the submission form?" So you don't have to ask that question any longer. So we so here it is with the values, and there's on the top of the page there's a link to a presentation that you can go through.
Nice.
And yeah, and so that explains everything. And if you still have questions, just reach out at WolfCon Conference chat, or myself or Thomas Trutt, and we'll answer your questions.
That's awesome. Yeah, I wonder if Tom might be interested in doing something with item state. That could be something that we're involved in for sure. I'm pretty sure Tom will be there. I will not be there either in person or virtually, so I won't be able to run this virtually either.
Well, we do have it, so we do have it open. So if you're presenting virtually, if you can find someone who is there in person who can be your moderator, you can still submit.
For people who can go virtually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You just have to find that in-person moderator for you.
Awesome. Well, I do have colleagues who will be there in person. But I will be in I will not be in either modality. So, hopefully we can find someone.
Yeah.
Cool. I see many more people joined us. Welcome. We were just doing
Yes.
housekeeping stuff.
Yes, Tara, the some of us clicked on the link in the minutes, and it's
Oh,
for
Jesus.
yeah. I just realized that. So,
And it's for like a different meeting.
I think it's for probably the Wednesday. Aren't there two? I
Today's
think there.
Wednesday.
Oh, wait. Then it's for the Monday. I don't know. It just it was.
It doesn't match the calendar, is what you're
It
saying.
doesn't match the calendar. Yes, and
Okay.
you weren't there. Several of us were.
All right. Are there people still there? Should I
No.
attempt to resolve this? Perfect. Okay. All right, I'm so sorry about the mix-up. I will look and make sure. I must have just copied it from the previous week. Sorry about that.
That would be the rational thing to do.
And yet I have led so many astray. Terribly embarrassed. Thank you for your patience. I will hang my head in shame for the rest of the meeting. Okay, so great. We went through the housekeeping. The one thing that's probably important is I'm going to cancel March 9th because I have a conflict. Unless there are any objections. Jennifer Eustace is here to talk about record deletion. That's what we got. Did you want to share your screen?
I did not prepare a presentation for this, so I thought, and one of the reasons I did not was, well, I was, lack of time, sorry, but also we're at the very beginning of this conversation, and bits and pieces have been happening, well, in bits and pieces, like over the last probably 2 years, but what's really lacking is kind of this holistic approach to us, how do we handle delete? Not just for Folio, but also how Folio interacts with third-party integrations such as discovery, reporting, and the like. I really want to thank, I did post this on Slack, and I think it was Owen and maybe Brooks who highlighted that this came up Actually, several years ago, or maybe, I don't know. Time is fluid for me after COVID. So several years ago could be like a year and a half ago. Who knows? Back in time, this did come up through technical counsel, and there really was not a resolution on how to handle set for delete. So I just want to give people a perspective of where data import has been and what it's discussing now. 2020. There you go. I mean, that's a couple of years, 6 years ago. So there you go. That's a couple of years. Thank you, Maura. Recently we had on the new feature request list for data import, deleting holdings and items. And the discussion kind of went in tangentially and very quickly to, well, how do we handle instances? So we went back to that conversation because we thought, well, we aren't talking about instances. Right now, we're just talking about holdings and items. So we developed a spreadsheet, and I put the link in chat of what are the use cases for deleting in batch holdings and items. So right now, we can hard delete. I think it's a hard delete. Manually and one by one, a holding and an item. So you're in Folio, you go to Folio inventory app, you navigate to maybe an item record or a holdings record, and you can actually do actions and delete that. At this moment, I'm pretty sure it's a hard delete. I'm not sure if there's something like a tombstone or a record that says, item record with UUID, blah, 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 has been deleted. So we couldn't get information on that. So you'll see from this spreadsheet, the rationale really is, you're dealing with mistakes. These are records that aren't tied to anything financial, circulation, requests, or any of that. A lot of e-resource management where, you're dealing with subscription packages. The items come in and they go out. So you want to easily remove all of these. But in the discussion, especially not only for this, but also when we were looking at the phases on how to implement the mark for delete discussion, and this is another spreadsheet that we started in data import that looks at that behavior. And this is the behavior in Sunflower where we have the flag set for delete. And then it changes the position 5 of the leader and a mark SRS to D. We included in that discussion instances. And in all of our discussions, one of the major concerns was that there are no guardrails. So what happens if your record is linked to an order record, which is maybe still open, or even if it's closed, it's linked to an invoice in some capacity, or it's linked to a request, or perhaps it has something to do in courses. So there are a lot of dependencies, and because of the business logic of Folio, these dependencies in terms of which way they're going from which app is not always clear. And that's not highlighted right now. So a lot of people are in the discussion in data import, we're really like, well, you kind of have to slow down. And before we have like a hard delete or even a soft delete, we really need to, in some way, ensure that we guard against these dependencies. So we're not just whole scaling, getting rid of records and then messing up logic in a different app, or even messing up kind of data that would be used by third-party integrations like Discovery. So all of a sudden, if the record is no longer there, can EDS still display that? And I think it only doesn't display it. It's based on suppression. So if nothing's there, then you could have these really funky, kind of corrupt kind of records, either in discovery, reporting, or elsewhere, depending on the integration you use, perhaps ILL as well. So We saw in Data Import that this discussion was much larger than just data import. You know, how do you just delete something in batch? Because it involves many more subject areas than what our, members were involved with. Some were involved, but not all of them. So we are bringing it to cross-app to see if maybe we can like find a path forward on how to navigate this functionality. You know, is it functionality that we want? You know, can we come to terms with, maybe a soft delete for instances, which we do have a little bit, but what does a hard delete mean? You know, do we implement tombstones that interact with our third-party integrations and even maybe an, I don't know, an archived version of the record? So that's why we're bringing the conversation here. And it really is just a conversation. So I think it was Owen. If you did any reading, there was a technical counsel did, not that, it was the, here, I'll just copy the link here. Yeah, I think it was, and this one, the, yeah, so we have that if you've read that. So anyway, so I'd like to open it up for discussion, see what people think, and see, I'm not sure if we can decide on how to move forward now, or maybe the path forward is more discussions, or to reach out to more SIGs. So that is my brief presentation for y'all, and I'll open it up for discussion. Vivian.
I had put this in the chat, but the question of dependencies is compounded for those sites who are using ECS because the tenants can't see each other's data. I mean, in some cases, can see that another library has holdings, but can't see the holdings. And so when you talk about, order data and order record dependencies, I mean, that is one tenant won't even know if another tenant has order data attached to a given instance. And so my saying that isn't coming from a place of, oh, this is a bad idea. I'm, it was actually part of the original discussion. It's more that we need to make sure that there are fail safes built in. So if we're gonna do a hard delete, or frankly, even a soft delete, there should be some guardrails built in to be able to say, oh, Folio is not going to allow you to do this because this record has other things that are dependent upon it not being deleted. I don't really know the right words for this, but that's the general idea. I think Maura, I think your hand was up next.
I'll jump in. Yeah, I just thought I would mention that in the in user management, one of the libraries created a they created a bit of code that, before you delete a user, it checks for dependencies first. So it checks to see if there are any loans or any fines or anything else that is connected to any of the other apps. And I think that that if there was something like that, that sort of like that connected to any of the other apps and, just sort of like it just looked for wherever else that record is touching, be it orders or discovery or loans, God forbid, when you're deleting it, that it would check for dependencies, and then like in the user's app, it would like it'll pop up
the, you'll have a modal window that pops up and says, this is, these are the things that are happening. And, so it's I think if you had something like that, I think that, there could be, I think that would be helpful. Christy.
So I'm speaking up as the person who actually brought the use case back to the data import SIG and as a co-convener of the data import SIG. And I think that it is a complex issue, and some of the conversations are happening at cross purposes because we have two completely different use cases. Or let's say buckets or types of use cases for needing to delete records. One of those is a part of the natural life cycle of resource management. You've withdrawn a title from your collection, and the set for deletion functionality that is being developed is kind of in support of that workflow. And that is different from needing to just make records gone. I can just say that our biggest use case is needing to correct an import gone awry, needing to delete junk data. It's so easy to create a lot of corrupt data in Folio. And then it just is going to be there forever. And there's a lot of work that has to happen so that that junk data doesn't interfere with other processes. You have to go in and you have to strip identifiers. You have to suppress things. You can delete things, but you have to go in and do it manually. And I think that for a lot of these use cases, it doesn't matter if there's a dependency, that all the things need to be gone, right, in an ideal world. So tackling this from multiple perspectives at the same time, I think is important rather than it feels like there's an assumption that dependencies should always be a stopgap and we shouldn't be able to delete anything that is attached to the order. And that is just not the case. We need to be thoughtful and intentional about it and understand the implications of doing so. But, there are certain, if you create an order in batch, if we get, say, a batch of 400 orders from a vendor and, certain, I can't for the life of me off the top of my head, say it's this property or that property. But once an order has been created, you can't actually edit all of the fields in the order. And the only way to recreate those orders is to delete them. The only way we have of doing that is doing it manually. And we have to do that with the, the holdings and the items in inventory too, because these things are coming in with barcodes. We can't just suppress them. We have to delete them because the barcode is there. We can't create another item with that same barcode. And if we have to recreate the orders, we're going to have to recreate the inventory, at least how data import works. We're going to have to recreate all of the records. So what we really need is for everything just to be gone. And I don't know where that gets us, other than I just want to be sure that we're not limiting ourselves to what I think is the most obvious use case, which is we had a resource. It was a real thing. It represented something. It's gone from our collection. And now we need to, manage that phase of the resource life cycle versus we have junk data. It needs to be gone. We need to clean it up so that we can actually load the orders and, get the money encumbered on the right funds and then load the invoice and get it paid.
Owen.
The thing, like, and So I kind of get that Christy is making an argument that perhaps we shouldn't overcomplicate this, and I think that's a fair point. I want to just come back to what Mara said and say, and I think the same goes for what Christy just said, actually. The problem, like, even if we're talking about deleting everything that's there, the problem with folio architecture, and this is why it's a deep technical discussion and why the previous discussion was so hard, for those of you who were involved in it, if there's somebody else on the call, and long, is because by their nature, the folio modules do not know anything about each other. So it is not possible to know whether another module references something that is in your module. And in the sense that Christy's talking about getting rid of everything, it might be slightly easier, but the same problem could occur. Like deleting everything, you can only delete everything if you know that it is all connected in the first place. And so you have to be careful about the way in which you're exploring that data. I think in the example that you were giving, Christy, obviously that data is all connected, but it's about knowing where those connections are stored and making sure that you're not deleting the thing that knows what it's connected to before you delete the other things that are connected to it, because a order knows it's connected to inventory, but an inventory doesn't know it's connected to an order. So in terms of data that's being stored, so I feels kind of from the I also think actually, although I do understand what you've just said, Christy, I don't understand how you would know you were definitely not deleting something that mattered in that. I guess you just have to be careful that something didn't exist before that job that you've just run that's created all of this extra stuff that could interact with stuff that already exists as well. So I mean, you know this. I don't want to be, I'm not trying to teach people how to suck eggs, but what I would say is like there are definite architectural issues here in supporting delete. And having all of these interconnected things know about each other is something that Folio is designed against. Now, you can obviously change that, or you can implement things like the modfqm, which is there to know how things that, well, that somehow bridges that gap to some extent. It's not, I think, it's not a universally agreed on solution, but it does do some of that work for you. But I think that the, yeah, I don't see how we have this discussion without people who are deep in the architecture of Folio in the room who can, like, say, well, how is this going to actually work in a technical sense? Because I feel like we know what it is the users want, but we, you know, that has never got as far as implementation. And so we have to look at the reasons why not, I think. And I think it's because it's technically difficult and a lot of effort. And maybe we haven't got the right technical solutions in place. I don't know. But yeah. I think I'm in terms of having a conversation here, it's very easy for, well, not easy, but I think we can agree on the requirements much more easily than we've been able to implement work that actually fulfills those requirements. And I think that's been the blocker in the past. Yeah, I'll stop there.
Christine, did you want to have a chance to respond?
I can let Martin go first because they've had their hand out for quite a while.
Yeah, well, Owen already said a lot of what I wanted to say. And I want to add that I think maybe, I mean, if you want to have checks before deleting, I mean, as Owen said, you basically, the modules can't know everything that is within a folio system and that is that has dependencies on a record. But if you want to have, from a practical standpoint, maybe you could say that for each record type, like items, instances, users, and so on, you could define a set of maybe standard modules or standard dependencies that gets get checked. But then maybe a lot of libraries will use modules or apps that also have dependencies outside of that set and that also have dependencies, and then you will maybe get the false impression that before a deletion every dependency is checked, and then suddenly in those apps that are not considered, so the link is broken. But from a practical point of view, I think maybe it would be okay to say, well, only the maybe you can say maybe the modules that are within the official release or whatever, they get checked because there you know if there can be dependencies or something like this. Jennifer mentioned before that there could be the possibility of some kind of tombstone. And I really like the idea that is that you have some kind of functionality that says, okay, there was this record was there. It got deleted, and that the user gets to know that this is not an error within the system that that someone entered false data, but there's just something missing because it was deleted. And if you have if you delete, for example, the inventory data and then have an order, you can just display that the corresponding instances or whatever got actually got deleted, and not that they just don't display or Okay, that's what I wanted to add. And I hand to, I don't know, Laura or Christine.
I think Christy.
So I hear everything that's being said. You know, it's difficult. It's hard. There's a lot of risk. What I will say is that this is functionality that Folio should have. It is expected functionality. Other library systems have it. Other library systems that we've had have had it. We've been able to do this before. So how do we move it forward to figure out how to make it happen? And I think that that's what we need to talk about. I think that is what I would like to see us thinking about how to make this happen. I will also say that one, these dependency issues have been resolved at least partially for other types of functionality that has been implemented. I'm thinking about the ability to maintain relationships when certain relationships change in inventory. You move a holdings from one instance to a next, and you can now maintain the relationship with the order. So, you know, it is possible to be able to achieve this, and I am not going to speak to how that gets achieved. The other thing that I will say is that, you know, we're deleting records left and right via the API. And I don't actually know exactly what you mean by tombstone, but, you know, all versions of all previous versions of, like, say we delete holdings in batch on a regular basis via the API, and those holdings are still there in the system. They're just not available via the UI. They're in the data in the back end in a table. I forget what the table is called, but I think it's history or archive or something like that. So these records are still available. You can look them up in the data and get them. They're just not active any longer. And I don't think that there's an undelete function. So, I just want to say that, I think that there's a lot of groundwork that we can leverage for doing this. And so I can see this data. I'm going to Jennifer, who's saying that might be a feature of MetaDB. And yeah, that actually could be it. But I do think that there is there actually is a table in Folio via the API where records that have been deleted, the holdings and items that have been deleted via the API, go to, out to pasture. I can find the name of that table for you, or the name of that endpoint for looking that up. Anyway, I will hand it off to Laura now, but I just wanted to say I do think that there's functionality that at least gets us part of the way in thinking about how to resolve some of these problems. And I think that it is imperative that we figure out how to move forward because functionally, we should be able to do this. And I don't want the end of the story to be it's hard and it's a lot of work. I mean, that actually may be the end of the story, but anyway, thanks.
Laura?
Yeah, so I've been part of conversations about this for as long as I can remember, and it is hard. And I feel like part of the challenge is that every time I have been part of a discussion about addressing this, we've tried to think about it holistically, which is great, but we've tried to figure out how can we solve all of this all at once. And to Christy's point, I think I'm what I was I made a note to myself that I don't think this group can solve this, but I think this group could come up with a plan for, okay, we'd like to address this piece first. And then we would like to address this part, et cetera. I do, Christy, you said other systems deal with this. And yes, they do, but I've also worked with systems that dealt with it very badly. So there are lots of challenges, even with an integrated system. And Folio, as we know, is microservices, or at least was envisioned to be microservices and functions as sort of a, I don't know how it functions. We don't need to go there. But what I was thinking was, what I would propose for a plan would be that we start with making it easier to do a hard delete without guardrails, making it very clear that it is a hard delete without guardrails. And that would allow us to delete the records that we know we really just need to get rid of. And then we start thinking about how we could realistically identify dependencies. I don't see it being something that like each app in Folio can identify. I think there has to be some workflow, some app that just is identifying dependencies because, as Owen says, that the apps in Folio often don't know anything about each other. And that is the hard part, but we trip ourselves up when we feel like, well, we can't let anyone delete through the UI in any way until we've figured out how to solve the whole thing. And I would love to see us solve this bit by bit while making sure that when people come to Folio, they don't assume that delete is doing things that it isn't doing. And Owen, I see you're next.
So I just want to be really clear. I'm not making an argument at all that this should not be part of the functionality in Folio. I mean, and that's not my place, and I have, no interest in arguing against a perfectly rational and sensible and reasonable set of functionality. All I'm saying is that the problems we've encountered in getting this done are not about a group like this agreeing that it should be part of the functionality. And I guess that I wonder, maybe a starting point for this for me is like, well, like there is, that work that I pointed to there, and as Christy, you said as well, like there have been implemented in places the work that's necessary, and that document that that Jennifer and I linked to, that says how we should do it. But if you delete something, you publish a Kafka message to say it's been deleted, and then any other module that's interested in that can consume that Kafka message and know that deletion has happened. And that's how that previous discussion said it should be done, and that's what the Technical Council signed off on. Is like, so I guess the question is like, what are the things that's stopping deletion of any kind, with or without that messaging happening? Because you can delete things in Folio, right? It's a decision to not allow deletion of things. And if, yeah, I mean, if it doesn't, especially if you want to be very, decide to take a, what's the word? A reasonably relaxed view of whether it's going to cause you any problems to delete something from the system. But certainly there are things all over Folio you can delete, right? So I guess maybe the question here is like, what's stopping that happening in this case, and what needs, like, who is it that needs to be able to action that? Which, yeah.
Yeah, and those are really interesting comments because I think, we can delete invoices, we can delete POLs, invoice lines. I think we can delete agreements. I think even individual users you can delete. So I think each app you can pretty much delete one by one, either a combination of the records that are there or all of them. For inventory, we can already delete holdings and items. And I just looked at the bulk edit high level roadmap. So for batch, this is scheduled for post umbrella leave. I think when you get to instances, I think there was just, yeah, I mean, there was like, well, one, there were two concerns that I saw from the discussion here and in data import is that we need more than one way than just bulk edit. So there was an express interest in having data import do that, do the deletion. And then there was also like, how do we account for the dependencies? I mean, it's one of the reasons why I like the tombstone idea, because the tombstone can say, hey, at one time I existed. And then if that's encoded in a certain way, that can be communicated off to all the dependencies. And if a new dependency tries to go to that record, there can be this flag and say, oh wait, I've been deleted, so you can't do this or something like that. But you're right. Maybe we should go back. At this point, I'm not sure. Because we all want deletion in some way, and there's multiple use cases, for preserving some of the dependencies, but also just getting rid of junk data. So maybe we need to go back to the technical council. Another idea that I had was that the product council is looking for ideas from the SIGs on, questions for Folio in general on how to implement stuff. So I thought of maybe bringing this up in that conversation. And then, Owen, I'm reading your chat. Does anyone else have any thoughts to share? And I noticed, Owen, you mentioned prioritization, and Tara, you mentioned that as well. I was wondering if you could expand on that idea of prioritization rather than being not being possible.
Well, I mean, it's just like who's going to do the work? Like who's, I mean, I say who's, where does the resource come from to get the work done is maybe the best way of saying this. In serials, that work has been paid, was paid for by a combination of GBV and Duke originally. If they had said, and we have to have batch deletion in serials, and this is how it should work, then that would have been done. I mean, given there was resource available to do it, and it was the most important thing to be done at that time. And obviously, different modules have different methods of prioritizing what gets done next, but generally, at the heart of it, in my view, somebody's having to pay for that to happen. So it gets prioritized when there is resource available to do it. And if you pay for it, then you are providing the resource available to do it. So therefore, you can prioritize it. That's not to say there aren't other mechanisms for prioritizing things. Like the SIGs prioritize things, and they're often added to the list of things to get done, and they do get done. But that's a slightly less direct route than money on the table. Certainly in my experience, and certainly for the modules that I'm responsible for, So, yeah, I see Christie's.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can see that prioritization and money is a big part of this. And I guess, my question is it the sense of this group that prioritization is the blocker for this, or is it that there isn't like consensus and a holistic plan for how individual modules should handle deletes? Do we need principles that are shared across Folio for deletion and, interdependency between modules? So that, if the prioritization is happening in the individual SIGs and, the modules that they have stewardship for, that they can feel empowered to move forward with that. I think a part of this is like the lack of a process and how do we get this to move forward? Because, we are prioritizing things, but I guess in the data import SIG, we don't feel like we are empowered to prioritize this, that there's a lot of unknowns and a lot of engagement and decisions that need to be made outside of the data import SIG before we can actually prioritize this work. And maybe that's not the case.
And that, as you were saying that, Christy and Owen posted in chat, that was the discussion of, that one of those original documents was consistency across the ops. Because there's delete, there's consistency issues more than with delete. But if that document lays it out, maybe that's a good starting point. And sorry, wait a second. Sorry, my voice just went. So maybe we could use that document as a starting point, and maybe we should go back to both the technical council as well as the product council to see if this is something that we can now get started on, and then discuss how we prioritize that, or how do we ensure consistency of the development teams that are working on delete. Owen?
Yeah, so that previous discussion in the document I keep mentioning, that said how a delete should be handled. Like that when you deleted something, you could publish a message saying it had been deleted, and that was the so that does not include the that proposal or well, I say proposal, it was a proposal that I worked on, but it was accepted by the technical council, so it's an accepted recommendation. The doesn't take into consideration the block action, so which I think this discussion has said kind of doesn't, isn't what we're aiming at. But that question about actually not allowing a delete because other things rely on it is not handled by that recommendation. That recommendation says delete it and then tell everybody you've deleted it, not and this is how you should do that. In terms of like whether there should be other things, I think like there is, there could be other things that we could agree on as a community, things like the two, what tombstoning looks like, what soft delete looks like. Those are things that we could agree, but I don't think they're necessary for deletion to exist in the system.
Kristen?
Yeah, I'm just listening and I might be misunderstanding. But if I'm hearing sort of what you were saying, Jennifer, and thinking about what Christy was saying, when we've tried to look at delete in like a holistic way, it's gotten really bogged down. But we have a use case for just data that gets created in error. And so is one of the suggestions that's kind of out here is like providing an option that libraries could limit to very few people to sort of do a delete without guardrails just for that particular use case, and maybe that could be addressed while some of these more holistic, like data should be handled in the same way type of situations could be worked on, because it seems like one of the reasons why we can't clean up data created an error is because it's getting lumped in with this other type of use case for wanting to delete. And maybe that's something that could be kind of separated out.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was Christy early on who said, or maybe it was Laura, I forget, sorry. So there's not just one way we should approach this. I mean, and the discrete methods are already here in many of the apps. And there is work, at least in Bulk Edit, to address the batch delete of holdings and items post umbrella leave. Owen?
So, I think the issue that I would see with that idea that we don't need to worry about it if it's this scenario is that I don't know how you isolate that it's this scenario. So I mean, I do think that if you are adding the ability to batch delete things, you are adding the ability to batch delete things, unless you are connecting that explicitly to a function that says, I'm creating all of this stuff, I'm tracking everything that I'm creating or updating, and then I'm going to keep that in memory, keep a record of that so I can undo it and put everything back to how it was before. That I can see as a, I think I put something of that nature in the chat, like that as a function of a data import that tracks what it's doing and then has the ability to therefore undo all of that, I can understand. Adding support for deleting things en masse, like you can't, I don't know how you would then restrict that to, oh, but only if, it's when I've made a mistake, because for the system, it's all just data, right? There's no way to know that.
Yeah, I wasn't saying the system would know that. I was saying like that would be sort of the caveat emptor of the library.
Well, sure, yeah.
Christy?
Actually, I was just going to say what Kristen said and what Mara is saying in chat. It's a permission. It's a permissions issue, and it is definitely a riskier situation, and not everybody should be able to do that or to decide that that is the approach that should be taken. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't have the power to do that when we need to, when we absolutely need to. And we just need to be aware of the risks, in doing so.
Well, we're about 5 minutes until the end of time, and this has been a really great discussion. I think we have a lot to take back to a data import, but I think also I'm on PC, and I think I might bring this up to PC as well in terms of this discussion and where we are, and that document that was an accepted recommendation by technical counsel. And see if this is something that maybe we can revive, and see how we can prioritize it as well. Are there any last comments to the discussion?
If I could make a remark about permissions, just that so far in my experience, and it's only been 28 years, but it's when it comes to permissions, there's very little malice. This is all going to be whoopsie. The things you guard against: mischief, malice, and whoopsie. And that's the sort of thing that can be addressed, by permissions and training. And so I think that worrying about permissions is not an issue.
Tara.
Oh, we're getting so close, and I don't want to hold people. But yeah, it's interesting to me in this conversation. Like, I tried to ask this in chat, and now I'm really wondering about it. It feels like if someone commissioned this functionality, like specific functionality to be developed, then like the answer would be like that we need to figure out all of these sort of outstanding questions. And when things go through the prioritization process in the community, it feels like the road has to be like completely smooth before things can move forward. And I don't know if other SIGs feel like that, like, so it's almost feel backwards depending on which way this gets approached. I don't know that not knowing everything at the start necessarily means that it can't move forward.
And yeah, and that's a great point. I think things have been moving forward anyway. We have already the set for delete, which responds to certain use cases. Bulkedit is working on the batch, even though this is post-Umbrella. And we've, you know, we're MARC authorities has just put in, and this is for Umbrella Leaf, a deletion of MARC authorities in batch. And so data import is looking at just the deletion of holdings and items through data import. So I think a lot of this discrete work is happening and being prioritized. I think it's kind of at maybe a larger level or with different record types. It's still being discussed, maybe, is my feeling.
Well, that's awesome, but we are at the end of the hour. So I guess I will say thanks very much to everyone who came. And I hope to hear more about this in the coming days. That was a really interesting discussion. So everyone have a great Wednesday, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks,
Thank you.
everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Uh-oh.